Have you ever had to fire or let go or remove your star player in the middle of a game? Listen, as a project manager, I've faced the exact situation. But here's the kicker. Sometimes it's not about individuals. I've had to pull the plug on entire projects that were months, and I do mean months, in the making. What's the most gut-wrenching decision you have ever had to make in your professional career? And more importantly, how did you find the courage to follow through? In today's episode, I'm breaking down eight of the toughest calls I've had to make in my decade as a project manager. And trust me, number six, this is that one right there that you are going to really want to pay attention to, because it would definitely have you rethink everything you know about leadership. So stay tuned, because these insights might just save your next project or career. You mind if I share a story with you? You know, family, when I got in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, one of the things that I wasn't aware of was making tough decisions. See, one thing about making tough decisions is that a lot of people make choices when they're leading their projects and not make decisions. See, I made the decision to actually implement a particular solution. And what it was happening is that we had a go, no go call, and the main resource that we needed there to really confirm that, hey, the leader that was supposed to be there just didn't show up. I emailed the leader, I pinged the leader in chat, no responses. So we got on the call around midnight to get ready to implement the change. The team said, hey, are we a go? And I said, hey, I want to tell you, this has been a great opportunity working with you guys. I'm super excited for what we're about to do, but I will inform you guys, I'm making this decision based on the feedback I've received from you guys, the data that I looked at, because we didn't get an approval, even though I sent an email. I did, you guys recall the go, no go call. I just need to know, are you with me? And they said, yeah, we with you, Ed. So it was, I said, let's go. And they implemented the change. The change went amazingly well. And later, after the change ended, I got an email, because I sent that email at leader, responded to the email, said, hey, great job, Ed and team. And I was like, this is strange. So the leader reached out to me and said, hey, do you have a moment to chat? I was like, you know, at first I was like, no, I really don't want to talk to you, because when I needed you, you didn't show up there. But I put my pride, my emotions aside, and I said, absolutely. And one thing I will say, family, I'm glad I did. And a lot of times you're going to run into to stakeholders like this, where you're going to need to put your pride and emotions aside and have those tough conversations, because I needed to have this conversation with him. And so as soon as I talked with him, he was saying, hey, I want to commend you. He said, most project managers wouldn't have made the decision that you made. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, we put you in that position to make those tough decisions. Yes, I understand that you were looking for my sign off and everything, but you've done the same thing that I would have done. And, you know, first of all, looked at the data, talked with the subject matter experts, had a go, no go call, put a plan A, B, and C in place, meaning that if it didn't go well, this was our plan A. If plan A didn't work, plan B. I wanted to see how you were going to respond. I always had your back. I had somebody else from my team on those calls, as you're aware of. And I just want to commend you for having the courage to do that. Why do I share that story with you? I share that story with you, family, because of times you're hired to make these tough decisions. You're hired. This is why sometimes I would get irritated, because I've been through tough decisions like this many times over and over. And what someone would do is they would come to you with a problem and never a proposed solution. Again, let me slow that down. It may have missed you. I said they will come to you with problem after problem after problem, but they will not give you a proposed solution. And when you're in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you need to be able to come up with a solution, even if the solution makes no sense, because at least that leader knows that they don't have to do all the thinking for you. Now, let's jump into point number one. Point number one, removing a key team member from a team member at mid project. What happened, family, is I had a senior developer on my team and they were truly underperforming. And I had a rule, this is something that I've made up along the journey, is that I will give you two conversations and max three conversations one-on-one, not in front of the team. My goal is not to embarrass you in front of the team. And after that second to maybe if we need to have that third conversation and I have not seen a change, I see that you really just trying to manipulate the situation, I will take the next step in the escalation path, which would be talking to their direct manager. If I don't course correction from their manager, I'm skipping to the top of the level, meaning I'm going straight to the CIO or the CISO, depending on which type of project I'm leading. I don't have time to play. If you're going to play with that, with this project, I'm going to let you know how serious I am. And as soon as the CIO or a CISO gets involved, the first thing they're going to ask me is, Ed, what did you do to try to first course correct this? I'll say I had 2 to 3 meetings with this individual. Here's the document notes that we discussed. And I also sent an email information of what we agreed on and what the changes were going to be. After that, I went to their manager. Their manager wanted to create no sense of urgency to talk with the resource. So I came directly to you. Hey, Ed, thank you for your time. You may leave. And I just leave it at that. And next thing I know, I'll get another resource or we'll make it work. So family, I'm saying all that to say this. You want to do what? Documentation beats conversation. Have thorough documentation. So when you're making this difficult decision, that you can have the documentation to support you, not the emotions. Let's move on to point number two, recommending project cancellation to stakeholders. You know, one of the things you have to understand, sometimes when you're leading a project, especially in a predictive style, I'm not talking about adaptive where you can run a scrum framework. I'm talking about a waterfall approach. Market conditions may change quickly and dramatically, and you may need to pivot. And if you have to pivot, this project that you're leading will probably not even make sense anymore. And you need to be able to document that properly and then start recommending how you're going to cancel this project so you can shift and make the proper decision in the best interest of the organization. Remember, as a project manager, when you're leading projects in the best interest of the organization, or basically the sponsor, which is a representation of the organization. Let's move on to point number three, replacing a vendor mid-project. Oh man, I'll tell you a short story about this. I don't know how many times this happened to me, and it had got to a point where I had to a vendor, and I knew it was going to jeopardize the entire project, but I had to replace its vendor. They weren't delivering the product on time. The customer service was horrible. The account executive was not attending the meeting so we can get updates of where we're at so we can be aligned on both of our project schedules. So once I started seeing some of these red flags, I didn't wait for it to continue to get worse. I contacted legal. I brought the contract to legal and I said, hey, I need you to help me. I'm going to show you what I think I found in the contract that we can either buy our way out or we may be able to get this because of they didn't fulfill their timelines as per the contract. And yes, this may be a short-term setback, but I'd rather have a short-term setback than an entire project just fail completely because the vendor has made a decision not to actually live up to their end of the bargain. And if you have a superior or an exceptional legal team, what they'll tell you is, hey, let us walk through the contract. You go ahead and start looking, put an RFP out there, or either RFI, again, RFP, request for proposal, or RFI, request for information, and start looking for a contractor and see if I've met there in the on this project. And again, family, don't hesitate to make this tough decision because when a vendor is underperforming, because the vendor has the same authority. If they feel like they're asking things of you and you're not delivering, they have the right contractually to say, hey, well, we're going to terminate this contract because it's not beneficial to neither one of us. Let's move on to point number four, delaying a product launch despite pressures from sales. I come from a sales background, and so I get both sides of the business. However, what tends to happen, and some of these sales calls to retain or obtain business, what will happen is salespeople will just overpromise things and not deliver on the dates that to the clients that they promised. And so what I had to start doing was talking with these sales teams and say, hey, we need to stop doing that, because what ends up happening is if we keep doing that the same way, number one, it's going to be to our product, which is an impact to the quality, as well as an impact to our reputation, as well as all this is not doing anything, you know, long term. All we're getting is short term gains. So why not deliver a better product? And yeah, our reputation may take a slight little hit, but it won't take the major hit if you told them, hey, you're going to get it in X amount of months. And we already told you that it's going to take 12 months instead of 10 months. And you're telling them in 10 months and you're trying to put pressure on the project team and they won't be able to deliver because of the fact they have to do the test. And you're fully aware of this. So you have to be willing to push back and have the receipts, as they will say, or what we like to say, documentation. Let's move on to point number five, overruling a senior technical expert's recommendation. Hey, I had to push back on a lead architect because of the fact of the solution that they insisted on was complex and a cutting edge solution. But I believe that that really wasn't necessary for based on the scope that we had. So I basically started having intense discussions and having second opinions to figure out if what this lead architect was going with or the decision that they've made, which one would be more stable and where we're currently at. We can always go back and renegotiate with the customer to build this cutting edge solution. But we need to meet the customer where they're at and then eventually bring them up. And yeah, I'm going to be honest, the late architect didn't appreciate that. Again, I have to do what's in best interest of the organization, and I need to trust my judgment and not be afraid to challenge experts. Even though they have more experience than me, they know the technology inside and out. However, I know what's best for the customer based on when we built out the scope, and the cutting edge solution was nowhere near the scope. Let's move on to point number six. This is the one I really believe you should be waiting on. And that's revealing a major project setback to the executive team. You know, family, when you are leading projects, what's going to happen is you're going to have resources, project team members as well as stakeholders that are not going to show up to the meetings. And one day I just got frustrated. I was like, you guys are not showing up to the meetings. I'm sending out the meeting recaps. There's no type of interactions there. I'm pinging you in Teams to say, hey, I really need you guys here. And so finally, I don't know, it must've got back to the CEO. It was like, hey, I want you to come present your project to me and the executive team. I said, no problem. So I called another meeting. I said, hey guys, this meeting, everyone showed up. I said, listen, I'm going to have to present to the executive team, and I'm not going to lie about where we're at. I'm not going to hide anything. I'm going to be very transparent. So you need to get ready for the questions, and you need to start preparing and we can be ready. I've done everything possible to try to protect you guys. And unfortunately, what I've been doing hasn't worked well. And so we're going to go in front of leadership team and we're going to have a transparent conversation about the significant issues. And this is going to make everybody uncomfortable. But as a project manager, you sometimes need to make these tough decisions, even though it's not popular with on the team, but you've given them opportunities to course correct and they chose not to. Let's move on to point number seven, enforcing unpopular overtime to meet a deadline. Again, enforcing unpopular to meet a deadline. There was a situation that I actually had where we made an implementation, and we started and it went to Labali about, I think it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I probably laid down maybe 30 minutes at tops, and I got a call, and then I got in and said, hey, something was wrong. Our clients are unable to access their system. What's going on? I'm calling all my network engineers. I'm calling, you know, application. And I say, hey guys, we got to get back on the call. I apologize, but I know you guys are probably either out with your family or probably like me, just getting some rest. And that was an uncomfortable call to make, to really convince people that don't report into you that, hey, I need you on this call, because if not, we're going to have to, and we're already going to have to escalate this up to executives, and they're going to want to plan and what we're going to do. So I need everybody to get on the call. And we got on the call and we got the situation, you know, resolved. But that was a very long day, I'll tell you. And I probably slept the next day, just probably half of the day, because it was one of those things where you can only control the controllables, and we missed thing that wasn't provided to us. And we could point the finger and say, well, we would have known, if we would have known about that, this wouldn't have happened. Well, it happened. So now what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit down there and continue to complain or be frustrated, or are you going to take action? Let's move on to point number 8, splitting up a project team. You know, one of the things I've learned in this thing called project management is that when you have two separate teams going at the same time, you have to look for red flags if they're not collaborating well. And right away, you need to cut. You need a decision to split this team up. Quick story, I actually did do that at first, and I paid for it. And eventually, I said, you know what? I'm tired of playing, because every time we get on the call, it would be the same two leaders going back and forth. So what I did was I split up the teams. And when it was time to present to the CIO, that's when each other found out about their particular outputs, because I got tired of them going back and forth. And I was also getting messages from other project team members. It's like, you know, I'm tired of joining these calls, and all they do is disrupt these calls. And I said, yep, you're right. I'm going to do something about it. And I did. When I separated those two, again, they didn't like it. Their two teams, what ended up happening, though, the meetings ran better. All right, two bonuses, and then end with closing remarks. Allocating resources to fix technical debt over new features. My application developers have a sense to really get bogged down with putting on new features and showing this could really improve the whole overall application, and check this out and look at this. And I'm like, hey, that's amazing. Look at our scope. This is what the customer asked for. We need to do that. We need to fix the issues that are on hand before we even think about any new features. Because if you start adding on new features and the customer, number one, didn't ask for it, and number two, we didn't give them what they originally wanted, we didn't fulfill our end of the contract. So again, we need to fix these technical issues, and then we can think about looking at new features. Let's move on to the last and final bonus here, implementing a controversial change management process. What I mean by that is that I've been in organizations, most of the organizations I've been in, they have had a change management process, but sometimes IT has a way of saying, yeah, we don't need to go through the change management process. And what I've had to do is really hold them accountable and responsible, because what I don't, because I've actually seen it happen where a resource makes a change and it disrupts something else. And then we're held accountable for not following the proper processes and procedures. And all we had to do was go through change management, and we would have discovered that, hey, we're making this change. Oh, it may impact another group. And so what I realized when I started seeing that happen, I stopped that. I nipped that right in the bud right away. I said, listen, we will not operate here. I do not want to be part of a project that moves like that, because what will happen is that, again, if something goes wrong, we all can lose our jobs. So to help that out, let's make sure we're documenting properly and going through the change management process. Only have two closing remarks on my way. First one is removing key team members mid-project. Listen, you may have to make these tough decisions, but like I said, do the two to three 101s, talk to their direct manager after that, and then just escalate. Point number two, delaying product launches despite pressure from sales. Your sales team may have overpromised and said that we were going to overdeliver on something. You need to have a very transparent conversation first. Course correct what they said originally, and tell them you need to stop doing that, because if you continue to do that, you're going to continue to impact the organization's reputation, as well as you're going to have us delivering a product that is not of quality which we're going to start losing customers. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode.